Welcome to the Jeff Knows Inc. Show with your host, Jeff Lopes, where we bring you the world's top athletes, celebrities, entrepreneurs, influencers, and their journeys to success.
Welcome to episode 215 of the Jeff Knows Inc. podcast. This episode is going to be a little more special than normal. We are officially announcing a regular episode with special guest Keith Bishop from Prevail Over Cancer. We are going to be giving our audience a ton of information on a regular basis on cancer, cancer prevention, everything you need to know to strive living a cancer-free life. This is going to be the first of many editions of this podcast. We're going to be pulling them out every 3 to 4 weeks. So I hope the audience enjoys it, gets tons of information from it. And like all weeks, we absolutely appreciate our audience, appreciate the feedback we get, and truly appreciate the fans that take the time out of their busy day to leave us feedback and give us a review and give us a rating. So this week, I just wanted to give a shout out to Emma AJ07, who took her time to leave a incredible 5-star review on our Apple iTunes. She said, great lineup of guests, some truly inspiring stories. So Emma, I appreciate that. Thank you very much. And anyone out there that enjoy this episode, enjoys any of our other episodes, please review, leave a feedback. That's the way our podcast grows. That's the way we could get our feedback and generate better guests by that. So sit back, very enjoy it, and take in all the information on this podcast. We are live. We are live on the Jeff Knows Inc. podcast. I'm your host, Jeff Lopes. Super excited. This is going to be, one of hopefully many, many, many Prevail Over Cancer podcasts we're going to be having with clinical nutritionist and cancer coach Keith Bishop, who has become a friend of mine, incredible knowledge base when it comes to cancer and fruits and vegetables and supplements. It's just his range of knowledge and his background is so beneficial to millions of people out there. So I'm so excited to be able to share his knowledge with our audience on a regular basis. Everybody that knows my story, I'm striving through cancer, and not only a survivor, but I'm striving now. And it's all been through diet, supplements, nutrition. Keith's been part of my journey as well. And I'm excited. So today's edition, which is going to be our first, like I said, of many, we are going to tackle fruits and the benefits and also the questions, how fruits affect us, sugar levels, all that things like that, or glucose levels towards cancer during, after treatment and prevailing with cancer with fruits. So welcome, Keith. How are you, buddy?
Thank you. I'm doing great. Thank you. So we're kind of fooling with, heat in North America, heat and virus kind of stuff going on. So, doing great. I feel great this week.
So let's take it from the top. What fruits do you recommend during your prevailing with cancer, during your survivability with cancer, and also prevention of cancer? What are your go-to fruits? And let's start talking about the benefits of them and what are we looking in these fruits?
Mm-hmm. So typically I think about it kind of like the color, of fruits. And so typically the darker the colors, the more, antioxidants and cyanidins and polyphenols and various different chemicals that act as antioxidants that repair our cells. And so that repair is, I'm a guy, so I think a lot of things like this. I've got 5 trailers. I have, 20, kind of my tractor, 20, 25, 26 tires. Okay. And so, I'm always concentrating about tires and so, but if I get a little tiny hole in that tire, I've got to take it to the shop and they've got to repair it. And so they take it apart and they plug it, with a little, plug or another piece of rubber type thing that they put in there and then they air it back up. And so they donated an electron to that tire and repaired that tire. And that plug will do probably better than the rest of the tire, typically, if they did a good job. So fruits and vegetables provide antioxidants that repair our cells, our DNA, and kind of it just helps the mitochondria, and just helps the processes to do the things that they're supposed to do. And so typically the darker, maybe the better, not always the case. But yeah, I'm always trying to go for the dark fruits when I can.
So let's talk about, I didn't go the chemo route, but there are millions of people out there right now that are sitting in front of an oncologist and are given the chemo route and they're going to start their journey. Mm-hmm. What fruits would you recommend during that treatment process to help eliminate as many symptoms and things as possible at the same time, to help strive through that process? Because it is a very taxing on your body, right?
Yes, it's so difficult. And it's comparable to surgery after surgery after surgery. Each treatment, it damages cells, fast-growing cells, and that can include the mouth and the throat and the gut and everything and hair follicles. And so it's damaging to the body and takes time to recover. So I definitely do like, fruits, with, the chemotherapy type things. I'm not concerned about, and there's no known concerns that I've seen. And so when I say these kind of things, I read the medical journals. And so I don't always trust what a website's going to say. I want to read what that medical journal has to say. And so I'm going to go to that journal. But so when I say these things, that's where I'm coming from. But in the medical journals, there's no research showing that fruits and vegetables are a concern, even though they contain those antioxidants. So things like high dose antioxidant supplements might be a concern. So vitamin C from an orange, 30 milligrams or something like that, maybe, definitely not a concern. A supplement with 1,000 milligrams two or three times a day while doing chemotherapy, might actually decrease the effectiveness of chemotherapy treatments. So fruits and vegetables are definitely a go-to. And timing could be important, in quantities. So there's a couple other of my favorite topics. We'll probably have to have other podcasts on those kind of things. Yeah. But, we have to be careful about quantities. So we're only burning so many calories an hour. And so if we have some of these fruits that we're going to talk about today, if we have a lot of that fruit and we're just sitting around, is kind of laying around, it may be too many calories, which is going to provide too much sugar, and we're going to make body fat. And then we run that potential risk about sugars. I don't like really saying feeds cancer, but provide too much energy for cancer cells to grow. So we have to be careful about quantities. And so I often will talk about my palm rule when I do the pot, my post and things like that. So we got to be careful about quantities on some of these fruits because they have a little bit higher sugar contents. And then timings, there's many times showing that during chemotherapy, certain chemotherapies actually are more effective if a person does some intermittent fasting and they'll eat only certain times of the day. We've talked about that before. And so, I do it all the time, every single day almost. Yeah. And although I'm not going through chemotherapy, but you have to be careful, about that. And so talk to your healthcare provider and double check about that. There's a lot of new research and current research currently going on evaluating timing. And so actually going without food and hitting the chemotherapy drug, hitting the cancer with a chemotherapy drug seems to have some even greater benefits.
I've actually researched that, and this is going off topic from our fruits, but I'll just throw a little tidbit in there. What I was told and what I researched was, if you could fast 24 hours prior to your actual chemo and 12 hours past, what it is doing is allowing your body to starve itself enough that those cancerous cells are going to see the chemo and be literally in your body. Just imagine it's going to be attacking that chemo thinking it's food, and it'll be able to target those cells, and the chemo will hopefully destroy your cancerous cells at a higher rate. That is right. What I was told with it. So there is a benefit to it if you are able to do that, right? But you're also getting it to the point where you have to be able to manage your calories in between that too, because with the chemo, does a lot of damage to your body. It also brings down your appetite. You don't want to be losing too much weight when you are doing chemo as well. So those, you just have to learn how to manage your caloric intake when you are not fasting or timely eating, as you call it.
Exactly.
There's one fruit I want to talk about is bananas. And when you are going through chemo, when we'll talk about it, because obviously the glucose intake and all that stuff, but when you are going through chemo, when I've spoken to other individuals, lack of appetite, swallowing. Bananas are very easy to swallow. They're great in potassium. They have high magnesium. They have pectin fiber, which is incredible as well. So there are a lot of benefits to your body for immunity, for antioxidants.
Yes.
Talk about bananas during chemo, and let's talk away from chemo, the actual banana on a regular basis as either preventative or as prevailing with cancer. How would you rate a banana?
Yeah, I think bananas are definitely a good option. And I do like variety, you know, and so I don't necessarily like to do the same thing every day, but I do like bananas. There's actually not much research showing that they, have much of an impact on chemotherapy. You know, but I definitely, they're okay. There's some quick calories, you know, and like you mentioned, easy to eat. They're convenient. Every store's got them. I do like organic, if at all possible. Try to limit those chemicals that might also be a concern. So definitely it's a great option. For prevention, once again, there's not much research on it. Basically, they just say that as a grouping of fruits, you know, and then they add bananas into that. Definitely, bananas do not seem to increase the risk of cancer. They don't go into specifics on quantities, but that's also where I like to be careful. You know, a big banana, I think we got to be careful about, and could just be too many calories at one time. Now, it depends on your activity level. If you're exercising, or if I'm out digging a hole out here in the pasture, you know, I can do a whole banana. I need that probably even, you know, to help do that task. But if we're sitting back and relaxing, you know, that's when we have to be a little more careful about quantities. But bananas, I think, are a great option. Ton of potassium, and which most of us don't get enough of.
Yeah.
You know, and magnesium. So I definitely, we have them at the pharmacy always. We're trying to help our associates to make healthier choices.
So when you're talking about, I didn't even want to talk about this as well, but when you're talking about bananas and you're talking about organic, I look at a banana as one of those fruits. If you cannot get an organic, I look at it as a banana as a better option because the skin and the coating. Would you agree with that or no?
Hey, quick question for you. Are you someone who wants to be fit, healthy, and happy? And what if I told you you could get your dream body by simply just listening to a podcast? I'm Josh.
And I'm KG, and we are the hosts of the Fit, Healthy, and Happy podcast.
Listen, we get it. Fitness isn't easy. Carbs, no carbs.
Just stop, okay? It doesn't have to be that complicated. And that's why we made this podcast. We get straight to the facts so you can become your best you.
So the way to check us out is click the link in the show notes or search Fit, Healthy, and Happy podcast on any of the major podcast platforms. We'll see you soon.
Well, probably the outside definitely is part of the problem. Yes, definitely. And matter of fact, bananas are probably more of a cleaner, you know, type fruit. There's EWG, I think it's their environment working group. You know, they've got the dirty dozen, clean 15, whatever they call that.
Yeah.
And I definitely, you know, that is a better option. And so, but then, you know, if a person financially can't afford to do organic or can't find. I mean, there's some places and some people, you know, I mean, can't get that. That's not a rule. You don't have to go organic. The studies, you know, are not specific for organic, you know, is what fights cancer. You know, it's fruit fights cancer. Okay. So, yeah. So I agree with that. So if there's something that appeal that we can, you know, take care of and get rid of, that reduces that concern, so that we don't have to worry about washing it and trying to wash that off. But definitely, that's a great option.
Now, the next fruit we're going to dive into is apples.
Mm-hmm. Give me the rundown on apples and the benefits. Sure.
Yeah, apples are definitely one of my just go-to. Gosh, it's so easy. You know, apples and bananas, they're at every store and easy to get. And organic ones are plentiful. Seasons can vary, you know, on that, even quality of that. But I love apples, a lot of fiber. They don't have actually a lot of antioxidants in them. So, matter of fact, go back to that light color. So the banana and the apple. So what happens when you cut those apple slices and you set them on the plate? They start turning brown pretty quick.
Yeah.
That is oxidative damage.
Interesting.
And so they don't have enough antioxidants in them to keep themselves from going bad quickly. So what do you do to, you know, to keep that from turning brown? You squeeze some citrus on it.
Yeah, lemon, yes.
Exactly. Lemon or orange, anything, citrus, you know, limes, anything is going to donate electrons, repair the flesh to that fruit, to the apple and banana, so it won't turn brown as quick. Eventually, it's going to happen. It's going to run out of electrons in when we look at biochemistry and things like that. So apples, I love them. They're quick and convenient. I still want to try to push toward getting those dark colors. I post frequently about a nighttime snack, you know, pitcher, you know, we're sitting on the couch and it's just, you know, a nighttime little snack. It's so easy, you know, to do that. And
are they, when you're looking at your glucose levels, so you're spiking your glucose, it's something you want to be aware of, especially later on at night, prior to bedtime, your time limits and your time eating.
Yeah.
Are apples one of their safest fruits when it comes to the spiking of the glucose levels?
Yeah, so certain. Yeah, it depends on the fiber level.
Okay.
And so I'm glad you mentioned that. So, you know, whole fruit, I'm a big fan of. You know, and
yes, the skin,
the skin, but the fiber in that. That banana's got that fiber and pectin, and the apple's got the pectin definitely. Yeah. Berries got pectin, and so the pectin and fibers slow down the absorption of the glucose, so we don't get this spike.
Like, yeah. You
know? But it's slower and it's not as much of a concern. Now, my eating pattern and my intermittent fasting that I do is adjusted for my relationships. And so I don't get home until after 6 o'clock at night. And so that's my time with the family. And so that's when I'm going to eat. And so we're going to have dinner and then we're going to have a snack. And so that is not necessarily the best time to have a snack, but that's part of our relationship.
Yeah.
You know, and after so many years, you know, it's hard to break some of those habits, I guess, you know, but so yeah, we do have that snack at night, but also once again, you know, and I always try to stress, you know, I do that palm rule on that I don't eat a whole, gigantic apple. I don't eat a gigantic banana. You know, usually my wife and I are splitting an apple, you know, or, you know, having a small apple.
What is your mindset with mixing that with a fat? And we've talked about this, like putting some organic, all natural peanut butter or something, a small amount on it. Doesn't that help the absorption as well?
It could help. Yes, it could help with the absorption. So our digestive system, the stomach and gallbladder, pancreas, you know, helps with the absorption of all those things, stomach acid in the stomach, and the fats may actually help with the absorption of some of those nutrients.
Yeah.
Some of these polyphenols, you know, and antioxidants are fat soluble.
Yeah.
And yeah, so it definitely could help out. I will do different nut butters and use it as a dip, sometimes hummus.
Interesting. Even.
And, you know, as a dip. And I typically think of hummus as more of a vegetable type thing. But
yeah, great soy source of protein.
Yeah. And exactly. Some protein. The same thing with the nut butter. Some, you know, some protein.
Yeah.
And now there are some people that, you know, are concerned about peanuts. Actually, peanuts are not really a nut, but they're a legume. But there's some potential concerns that, although it's not really fully founded that peanuts should be avoided, but there are some people that are concerned about toxins and mold and things like that in peanuts. So, but I will eat some peanut butter. I love almond butter. Cashew butter is okay. Yeah, so that's definitely that's part of my often part of that nighttime snack would be something like that, or veggies with some hummus, or just veggies by themselves, or just a piece of fruit by itself.
Yeah, very, very good. With our next one, I mean, it's probably one of the most popular fruits, and it's been in the spotlight for years now as this health benefit. It's blueberries. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about blueberries as something, and we'll categorize blueberries, blackberries, and just even raspberries all in the same bunch, because I think there's so much benefits to all of those.
Yes.
Let's talk about just berries in general, and berries, especially blueberries, is to me a go-to later on night. If I want a quick snack, I'll have some frozen blueberries. It'll give me, I used to be a huge ice cream guy in the past. Mm-hmm. And since I was diagnosed November 23rd of 2022, I've eliminated anything processed, anything sugar. So I have not touched an ice cream since. And believe me, I crave it all the time. So my go-to sometimes is I'll actually get a quarter cup of organic Greek yogurt, and I'll get some frozen blueberries, and I'll actually put them in a hand blender and just beat them really good so it gets nice and thick, put it back in the freezer for about 10 minutes and take it out, and it becomes almost like a frozen yogurt. And so let's talk about blueberries or blackberries, raspberries in general, the benefits. Everybody knows they're antioxidants, but let's talk about the other benefits to it and how could they help you prevail through cancer as well.
The antioxidants, you know, in that the polyphenols and all those things that repair cells and things like that. Once again, these are darker antioxidants. I mean, these are darker fruits typically, and they contain
I apologize. I want to drive back because there's something that was playing in the back of my head, and I wanted to ask you before, and it slipped my mind. When you talk about, let's go back quickly for 2 seconds to apples.
Okay.
As a kid growing up, I was always under that impression. A green apple, because you always think green, is healthier than a red apple. I don't know why, because you always associate green with health and veggies. There's no science behind that. A green apple that has more acidity to it or anything like that. It just an apple in general, you still want to stick to a darker apple even.
The color of the, you know, that little bit of the skin on the apple, you know, definitely has some great nutrients in it.
Okay.
And that might have more antioxidants than the lighter colored skin.
Okay.
You know, and so, you know, in storage, typically a red apple is going to last longer on the shelf.
Yep.
It has a little bit more antioxidants, you know, in it.
And when I find organic apples in the grocery store, they're always red apples. I never have seen an organic green apple any of the grocery stores near me for some reason. I don't know why, but they're always red apples, and they're always usually smaller, and they do, for some reason, you put them in the fridge, they last.
Right. They do good. You know, that's what's so nice is that they last a long time.
Yeah.
You know, and I had another thought too about the bananas before we go. You mentioned about freezing the blueberries.
Yeah.
You know, my wife, she loves to take banana slices and she freezes those banana slices. And then she'll take out, you know, like one piece of banana, like one bite of banana, a frozen banana, put it in her mouth and let it dissolve. And I have to admit, it's like ice cream.
Interesting. I got to try that.
So it's walk away, you know, get one out of the freezer, put it in the mouth and walk away. And it helps break that craving for other sweets.
Yeah. I've been doing that a lot, even pomegranates. I've been freezing a lot of fruits just to get that cold, especially through the summer, that cold, that satisfaction, almost like that frozen yogurt feel with a lot of these frozen fruits. Yeah. Interesting.
Exactly. Yeah. And so, seasons, we like different things. And so like, I love the cold. And matter of fact, for people, going back to finances and what people can afford, I love frozen fruit.
Yeah.
And even frozen vegetables, you know, and, you know, that is a fantastic way to do it. You know, I don't live close to grocery stores, and I mean, they're not far, but, you know, it's, you know, 8 miles minimum to get to a grocery store. So it's not convenient. So we've got freezers, and we're stocked up, and we'll buy fresh fruit, peaches, and buy the carton, or they just call them flats. Yep. And we'll just slice those up and put a little cinnamon on them and a little bit of fruit fresh, which is actually vitamin C.
Interesting.
And vitamin C on it, and to help keep them from turning brown and freeze them.
Interesting.
And so we've got those all winter long. You know,
and it's obviously a lot. I mean, you're talking about finances. It'll be financially obviously a lot more beneficial to buy in bulk. I mean, if you do have the capability of freezing it and in the spacing to freeze it as well.
Exactly. Yeah. So trying to get you that little chest freezer or whatever.
We do that. We have two of those actually at our house.
Yeah. Exactly.
So let's get back to blueberries.
Yeah.
We jumped off topic there, or berries in general. Let's talk about those.
Yeah. So berries have got that dark color, a ton of nutrients in them. And they're also kind of like a lower carbohydrate, the lower sugars typically.
Yeah.
And so I love them. The only ones I'm a little bit concerned about are typically strawberries, the way they're grown and the chemicals used. And so they're kind of in that dirty dozen type of a thing. And
they've been number one for a couple of years now.
Yeah, exactly. And if you've ever seen how they really grow them, you understand. With that. And so that's a little bit more concerning. And once again, if you can get organic, that's great. But so we have to be careful about those. But berries are like top of my list. I would eat, I'd say variety. I like to change out some, like, I like to eat, one thing one day, another day, because I've seen several clients that they develop a food sensitivity because they eat the same thing every day. That's the only reason.
Is there with berries, and we're talking, we could always go back to the studies. I'm assuming there are plenty of studies to see the benefits of berries to cancer.
Yes. Ton of studies. Yes.
And when you're looking at that, is that as prevailing, preventative, and also during the process of, if people are, like we talked about before, going through the whole chemo process, there's benefits through the whole process, right? Because the antioxidant benefits to your body, keeping your immune system strong.
Right. Yes. And so there's benefits during the chemotherapy, but it's not as well studied.
Yeah.
And so it's, there's only a few studies about fruit, and or vegetables during chemotherapy. And a few studies about, or maybe a study or two about even mortality, about survival after cancer, with fruit and vegetables. There's a few studies about that. I always kind of look at that. That's another of my search term going through the medical journals. And so there's not a whole lot of research during chemotherapy about the benefits of that. It's just kind of like accepted that it's just accepted because there's no known issues with it. But it's sad to say it's not well studied yet.
Yeah. I mean, and that's, I mean, we could talk about that on another podcast altogether, is the funding for studies like that. There's not much funding out there, because there's be more funding for the actual research on medication or chemos and stuff like that. But there's never, ever benefits. Or not, I mean, say benefits. There's never ever true funding towards studying of the benefits of fruits and vegetables and natural fruits and foods in general to prevail and live a cancer-free life. Right, that's the problem. Right,
but it's financially driven. So drug companies are willing to spend billions of dollars to come up with a new drug. But drugs come from natural products. Okay, so seeds in fruits and vegetables, but seeds have some chemicals in them that have anti-cancer benefits. Chemotherapy drug. Extracts from natural products. So that's actually some of this early research that we see. They're actually looking at, this particular seed. It's called medicinal chemistry. I hated that course. When I was in pharmacy school, it was horrible. I hated it. But now I'm looking at that, I go, Journal of Medicinal Chemistry. Oh, look, they're studying this herb. Why does this herb have cancer benefits? And they're isolating 20 or 30 different chemicals out of that leaf. And now they're trying to come up with a synthetic version of that. They'll change the chemistry just a tiny bit, one molecule on that drug. And now they're making a drug. Now they get a patent on the process of making it and a synthetic drug.
Yeah.
So actually a lot of the research we see going on is kind of like underlying some of it is funded by drug companies because they're trying to figure out why does this herb, why do these foods fight cancer? So it's there, but it's hard.
Let's talk about grapefruit, something that I don't have in my diet, something I've actually been looking a little bit more into now. It obviously fits under that category of acidic acid kind of fruits with a lot of acidity to it, a fruit that has a lot of antioxidants to it. Let's talk about grapefruit. And is there research towards cancer with grapefruits?
Yes, with grapefruit and citrus, there's definitely some anti-cancer benefits with it. But grapefruit is a little bit different than most in that there's a chemicals in it that actually may inhibit some liver function.
Interesting.
And actually can make some drugs become more toxic or drug levels become higher in the body. So matter of fact, even estrogens. So many years ago, my wife, she's working for a doctor's office and they heard that, you know, if you took grapefruit while taking an estrogen pill, it actually increased your estrogen levels. And so they were actually telling patients, oh, you still got a hot flash? Eat some grapefruit, you know, type of a thing, because it actually inhibits some metabolism of functions and enzymes in the liver. Well-known documented fact about certain drugs. So, but grapefruit, other than that, I mean, it's definitely a great option. And I love grapefruit and other citrus. There's one exception though, and actually it has to do with Caucasians and timing of the year for grapefruit and citrus. And that is, there's several studies showing that citrus fruits increase the risk of skin cancers and Caucasians.
Interesting.
And so now.
When you're saying time of year, explain that.
Like summertime.
Interesting.
Okay. And so they're trying to figure this out, and I don't have the full answer on it, but enough to where I'm not doing oranges, grapefruit this time of year. But also, so think about Caucasians are typically like North American, I mean, North European.
Yeah.
Okay. Do they have citrus growing there? Probably not for thousands of years. And so, but also they didn't have much sunshine either. That's why Caucasians are lighter color skin because they're trying to maximize the sunshine exposure. And now we've spread throughout the globe and Caucasians are eating some foods, including citrus. And there's a chemical in the citrus that increases the risk of skin cancers.
When did these studies come out? How long ago?
Within the past 10 years.
That's the first time I'm actually hearing that, which is very, very
I'm always sharing things with you. It's like, you know, you're going, what?
No, I mean, that's just, it's yeah. I mean, your reality, you think of, I mean, it's information overload, especially somebody that's, sure. I'm going to talk from my experience. When I got diagnosed with cancer, I went on information binge from November 23rd. I got diagnosed November 24th on. I was, God, within a span, I had audio read 6 books. I had researched and researched and researched and dove into the dark hole of the web where it's not always the greatest thing to do when you first get cancer because it's information overload and you're reading a lot of, you really have to separate these sites because a lot of these websites are trying to sell you something.
Yes.
So you have to build the information on your own and you got to figure out what's right for your type of cancer, what you're going through. So it was a very long, but a very quick. What I mean long was it was such so much information, but it was very quick because I kept indulging as much information as I possibly could to learn as much as I could about my type of cancer, which was a colorectal cancer, and what foods and vegetables and we'll have I guarantee episodes talking about red meats and stuff like that again. So just in taking all that, so. Fruits have become a massive part of my diet because I am also on a keto/Mediterranean diet. So I do have a certain portion of fruits every single day.
Right.
And
I do too.
Blackberries, blueberries, bananas, I don't have every day. I usually have about 3 a week. I'm just talking my own experience. We could count avocados as a fruit in there. I know you wanted to talk about that. We're going to kind of talk about that at the end of this podcast. One that I actually talk about quite a bit, and one that I intake quite a bit, I'm actually going to have it today after lunch, is tomatoes. And I want to classify tomatoes as a fruit. Let's talk about tomatoes now and the benefits of tomatoes. That's something you've been actually talking about on your social media for the last week and a half as well, and giving tons of information. So let's talk about tomatoes, and then I want to jump into avocados to finish off our podcast today.
Yeah. So tomatoes, you know, once again, dark colored fruit, you know, all kinds of nutrients, not just lycopene. That's the one that we has been probably the best studied.
And
for many years. And for men with prostate cancer, but actually in other types of cancers, lycopene is one of those dark color nutrients in the tomatoes.
Yeah.
And so I love tomatoes. That this lycopene, you know, is available and is readily absorbed, whether you eat it, you know, raw, or if you, you know, do it in a tomato sauce, actually cooking the tomato. And actually, with a little bit of oil, probably enhances the availability of the lycopene in the gut.
Interesting. I was going to ask you that, because you always hear when you do cook a vegetable or a fruit, you're looking at eliminating or taking some of those nutrients out. But you're saying when you do cook a tomato, especially with a fat induced into it, it could increase the benefit of it.
Of the lycopene.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which is a huge part of what you want to look at.
Exactly. That's what we're really kind of going for. Yeah. And so, you know, matter of fact, I've done some posts, you know, about cooking, you know, vegetables and fruits. And so, you know, if you cook the, a product and you don't use that water that it was in, I mean, you see the colors in the waters, you know, you've lost those nutrients. And so, you know, so that's part of the problem. And cooking can break down some chemicals, definitely proven fact, you know, cooking can, in this case, is actually breaks down the fruit a little bit better, along with a little bit of oil, and will increase the absorption of it. And also, you know, it's like, it's not like we have to eat a ton of tomatoes, but, you know, probably a slice of a tomato occasionally is okay. That probably is not going to have much impact. You know, if we can add a lot of other fruits and vegetables, it's great, you know, but, you know, thinking that, okay, oh, I got my lycopene because I put a slice on my hamburger. That's not going to do
No.
That tomato is probably not enough antioxidants to get rid of the damaged, overcooked red meat that you just, you know, ate. So, you know, but I love sliced tomatoes. We have way too many tomatoes right now in the garden. And matter of fact, my wife said, we're done. You know, and so she's tired of taking care of that and drying them and freezing them and dehydrating everything. So, but you know, they're wonderful. The, as a, another option is they're with the worldwide distributions, growing and distributions, it's easy to get. And, and organics are pretty easy to get also.
Yeah.
I'm a little bit concerned about, well, tomatoes are acidic, and I'm concerned about canned tomatoes and the plastic liner that is inside the metal cans. The acid may kind of eat away at some of those plastics. Not well studied, you know, on that, but it's just a little bit of a concern I have. I prefer
a glass jar
because of that acidity, if at all possible. So, you know, if you're going to buy tomato sauce, or paste or something, and to make, you know, a spaghetti, which I'm not a big fan of spaghetti itself, but acorn or spaghetti squash is great. I love that. But and using a tomato sauce from a glass, you know, container, I definitely, that's okay. I'm just concerned about the long-term acidic exposure to the plastics or in the cans. You know, on that, but
you could use that. I mean, that's another topic altogether. I mean, you could talk about that all together with any type of canned fruit or anything like that, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. The longer it's in there, and just the heat process, even of making that can and putting everything in there and the plastics, you know,
and just, I mean, you got also, we could dive. That's another that's another topic altogether. But I mean, you put those cans in a truck in the heat, traveling from state to state or country to country or on planes. I mean, the heat of some of these airports and stuff like that, they're on air conditioning. I mean, it's just, you're absorbing all that stuff. So yeah, that's another topic altogether. So tomatoes, great benefits. Is there a palm rule like for tomatoes? Because I do try to have at least 3 to 4 times a week, I'll have at least 2 small tomatoes after I do my diet is I have my main course, small portions, main course. And then I have my vegetables. Like today I have celery and 2 small tomatoes. And then I have a little bowl of blueberries. And that is kind of my lunch. And is there a concern of overdoing the tomatoes? Like also with your glucose levels and stuff like that, is there a concern to overdoing? Is there a palm rule? Like where's your mindset with eating tomatoes?
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Tomatoes and celery and a lot of fruits actually, and berries are actually so low in what they call a glycemic index, glycemic load. Yeah. I'll just kind of say glycemic impact.
Yes.
So it means the sugar, content, but tomatoes are so low that, I mean, you can eat more tomatoes than you can stand probably, and not get, body fat from that. And body fat is risk factors for cancer, that inflammation fat. Okay. So that's where you got to be careful about it. But yeah, so tomatoes, I think are great options to add to dishes and help decrease, I'm not concerned about quantities at all on tomatoes.
Perfect. And our last one we had talked about prior to going on air, and you kind of threw a wrench in wrench at me with this one, is something I do every day because I did read the benefits of colon rectum cancer is avocados. Mm-hmm. It's one of those that is usually never on the top 12 dirty dozen because it does have a skin. They're usually not treated with a lot of pesticides. They're a little safer. You try to buy organic when you can. Most of the time, beyond, I don't buy organic. I just wash them in my baking soda, let them soak for about half an hour, and you're not obviously eating the skin. So mm-hmm. Let's talk about avocados and a study or a couple studies mm-hmm. of the benefits, but also the relation to what you're saying as a hormone towards, you told me, which is shocker, women in breast cancer. Let's talk about that to finish off our podcast today.
Yeah. So the avocado, like most fruits, I mean, I'm a big fan of, and I still eat avocados, and so I want to stress that. But there is one study that you and I talked about is that shows that frequent avocado consumption reduces the risk of colorectal cancer and actually several other cancers, except it actually seemed to increase the risk of breast cancer and hormone, which means estrogen positive, ER positive breast cancer. And so they actually did, and it's that same study showing great results for several different cancers, like reduced risk by 20%, 30% for most cancers, except it seemed to increase the risk of breast cancer by like 20%. And so, well, why is that? And so they actually went back and reviewed some data from another healthcare provider, nurses study, and they found same type of thing.
And these are studies for, let's talk about quantity of individuals in these studies. Is it 1,000? Is it 5,000? Like how many people when they call it a study?
Yeah. In this case, these are like tens of thousands.
So they're legit studies.
Legit studies. Yes. These are legit medical studies. And matter of fact, they were really like shocked about this.
Yeah.
And it showed up because it always shows, negative concerns. But avocados haven't been well studied. And so,
which is interesting because it's in the global world, it's one of those foods that last 5 to 10 years has been promoted as this healthy food. It's just the top of the line. You go to a restaurant, even a fast food joint, they're like, we could put avocado spread on your thing, and all of a sudden it's healthy. And you see that, right? It's advertised as this healthy food, right? And it has so many. It does have so many benefits. The fat intake. It has so many benefits to it.
Oh yeah.
So these studies are something that if you are a female and have even a male that has some type of hereditary connection to breast cancer.
Yes.
it's something to look into and kind of be more aware of.
Correct. And so, for me, my family history of prostate cancer. Now, prostate cancer is a hormone-driven cancer.
So is this in the same field as a breast cancer?
Yes. Okay. Typically, yes. Okay. And in most cases. But now that same study didn't find a concern for men in prostate cancer.
Interesting.
It was only in women.
Yeah.
And so, and then there's some other studies. There's, okay, well, why is this happening? So there's another study showing that it has some, avocados actually have some estrogenic type properties. And they can even impact tamoxifen, which is a drug that's used to help prevent breast cancer. It's used for decades now, and it can actually impact that. But it seems to have some estrogen type properties, but actually it kind of goes back into the gut. So actually the bacteria, you know, digests the good bacteria, bad bacteria, you know, digest the fiber and the nutrients from our food, including the avocados. And there may be a genetic issue for certain women that it actually increases the production of it increases the production of estrone, which is one of three major estrogens. There's estrone, estradiol, and estriol are three main estrogens. There's actually dozens of others after that. But it seems to increase estrone. Well, high levels of estrone, you know, attaching to a cancer cell can kind of feed that. So that's what we're trying to do with tamoxifen and other estrogen blocker drugs, is we're trying to keep that estrogen from attaching to the cell and helping it to grow. So this is actually kind of like some new information, and there's a lot we don't know, but to the point now that I'm telling my clients with a history of breast cancer that I don't recommend it. As a matter of fact, you know, there's going to be a ton of people not happy with me saying this. I mean, about, you know, avocados, because there's a whole market.
A huge market on the health side of it.
I mean, whole market down in South America, production. And so there's going to be some major pushback on that. But what we need are more studies. And so therefore, you know, one of my main things about, you know, like I recommend the palm rule, but it's, we have to be careful about quantities and frequency. So I still do have avocados. I will eat some avocados. I don't eat them every day, and because of my history, and same thing, my wife, you know, her father died of prostate cancer, and she's had some mammograms that are like really concerning. So we change our food and our supplement program. And by the time she goes in for that different type of a mammogram, that spot's gone. And so there's a relationship between prostate cancer and breast cancer and breast cancer and prostate cancer. So therefore, we will have an avocado, but we're, with our history of hormone driven cancers, we're not going to do it every day.
Perfect.
But other cancers, it's not showing up as a concern. So
and there is, like you said, studies towards rectum, colon cancer, other cancers that are showing a 20-30% benefit. So those are all things to look at. And like I said, as a striving through cancer, past cancer, as a cancer free survivor now, avocados are part of my diet. Maybe I will start limiting them to maybe 2 to 3 times a week instead of every day, but they are still a part.
Yeah.
Yeah, this starts out and everything in variety.
And moderation.
Moderation. And my mindset is, if it's naturally from the earth or through an animal source, as long as it's not processed in a factory, you're doing some good benefit to yourself, especially if you can have it organic when we're eliminating the pesticides and all that. This has been an information-packed first edition of Prevail Over Cancer podcast on the Jeff Knows Inc. show. And I'm excited to do this on a regular basis. And we're going to give our audience a ton of information on a regular basis that they could intake and do their own research on top of it.
Yes.
At the same time, I want my co-host here to give praise, and I want anybody, we're going to put on all our show notes, all the information to get a hold of Keith. And if you are going through the process of cancer, if you've been just diagnosed with cancer, or you have a history of cancer in your family and you want to live as much of a preventative life as possible, Keith is an incredible resource. The knowledge base is incredible. I mean, we're just getting a little glimpse of it here, and we're going to put all the show notes information to get a hold of Keith, and he could drastically help you strive a cancer-free life through diet, through supplements. And if you are going that route through chemo, he could really help you in the process of helping those moments mm-hmm. to strive through those and come above those in the best way possible. So I want to thank you, and we're going to have you on again. And great. All information will be on the show notes. And this will be out very shortly. So I'm super excited. Thank you so much, Keith.
Okay. Thank you.